Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Pastor Michael Hoggard begins a brand new series studying the significance of the number 33 in Scripture. Watchmen on the Wall is here each day to bring clarity to the chaos and remind everyone who tunes in that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that is shared on Watchmen on the Wall. Subscribe to our free email newsletter, the latest insight and analysis from our speakers, and access to our latest resources. Sign up today for the free email newsletter at swrc.com or just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Why does the number 33 keep appearing in history, prophecy, and occult practices? Michael Hoggard, renowned for his groundbreaking studies in Bible numerology and occult symbolism, is here to unpack the astonishing significance behind the mysterious number of 33.
Welcome to the program today. I'm your host, Micah Van Hus, and today we are joined by a man who is no stranger to Watchmen on the Wall. That's Pastor Michael Hoggard. Pastor Hoggard, how are you doing today?
That depends on how you define the word stranger. So I'm known by the people who listen to Southwest Radio, but some people think I'm a little strange. But other than that, I'm doing okay.
Absolutely. Depends on the definition of the word, the UFO
That's
pastor.
Right.
Well, for the next 2 days, we're going to be talking about your DVD, The Cult of 33. I heard you give a presentation on it recently in Wichita, Kansas. Fascinating discussion, and I'm looking forward to getting into it with you.
Well, I appreciate that.
So how long, Pastor Hoggard, have you been studying Bible numerology? This is not your first presentation and DVD on the numerology. I'm fascinated by some of your other stuff. So how long have you been studying Bible numerology, and how did you begin making connections between numbers and spiritual symbolism?
It all started, my testimony is, God moved me into a study of Bible prophecy in general in 1997. Somewhere between 97 and 1999, I started seeing numbers used, and God was leading me to pay attention to those numbers because He uses numbers in the scriptures. The number 7, the number 10, the number 40, those are all numbers that you'll see all throughout the scripture. And at first, Micah, I didn't want to get into that because I was looking at it from an occult standpoint, getting into numerology. And I thought, well, I don't want to do that, you know. But then the Lord just sort of moved me. I read a couple of books. One was by an independent Baptist pastor by the name of Ed Vallow. He wrote a book on Bible numbers. And I read it, and I had his list of what the numbers mean there in front of me. And then there was one that was written several years back on Bible numbers. And then later on, of course, I used Noah Hutchings' book on God, the Master Mathematician. Thought that was pretty well done. And so anyway, when I started paying attention to the numbers, I read those books, but then I said, Lord, those are good men, and I'm sure they know what they're talking about, but I want to learn it from you. I want to know what the Bible says about each one of these numbers. And so I just started looking at these numbers in the Bible and sort of making a list of what I could see from the scriptures that the Bible was saying. For instance, the number 7. We all know that in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible defines the number 7 by showing us what the Sabbath day is all about. The number 7 is for completion. God completed His work. It's the number for sanctification because God sanctified the Sabbath and so on. And then you go from there and you see things like the 7 spirits of God. You see the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 trumpets, the 7 seals, the 7 vials of wrath, and you understand what that number means because you've read it all throughout the scriptures and you've got a general idea what that number means. So then 9/11 happened. I started seeing emails that people were sending me about number patterns with September 11th, 2001. The fact that it was Flight 77 that supposedly flew into the Pentagon. The Pentagon is 77 feet tall, okay? Then you start looking at the 9 and the 11. and putting things together with the number 11. Years ago, that led me to write a book called The Babel Conspiracy. And it was using that study there that got me off into more of a study of not only how the numbers are used in the scripture, but how these numbers keep showing up in things that are happening in life. Let me sort of give you an example. I think I did this when we were in Wichita. Let's look at the obvious meaning of the number 33. We know from the Passovers in the four Gospels that Jesus would have been 33 years old, even though there's no verse that says he's 33 years old. We know that he is, okay? The significance of that, there has to be something to that because there's nothing incidental, coincidental, or accidental with God and his word. And so you start looking at the number 33 as maybe a number of sacrifice. On God's side, that sacrifice is Jesus Christ, is for our sins. On the devil's side, however, that seems to be a number that shows that maybe somebody died in a deliberate fashion. And I'll give you an example. Most people that are studying Bible prophecy right now, listening to what's going on in the news, they know about Jeffrey Epstein. And most people you talk to, if you ask them, do you really think he committed suicide? They're in prison. They'll say, no, absolutely not. There's no way in the world. Somebody got to him. He was killed. He was murdered. In fact, Micah, he was hung. Okay. Mm. So was Christ. Christ was hung on a tree. Cursed is anyone who hangeth from a tree. Here's how this plays out. There was a specific day that Jeffrey Epstein, here it is. I have it right here in front of me. He was indicted on federal charges. On July 8th, they found him hanging in his cell August 10th. That is exactly 33 days. 33 days after they indicted him, they find him hanging in his cell. When I saw that, I knew immediately what it was. So let me give you some other people that have died famously attached to that number. John F. Kennedy, Dallas, Texas, on the 33rd parallel. He died November the 27th. November is the 11th month, 22nd day. You add those two together, you get 33. Bon Scott from AC/DC died 33 years old. Here's a good one for everybody. David Koresh, who saw himself as a Christ figure, as a Messiah, as the one who's going to open the seals of Revelation, he dies at exactly 33 years old. Timothy McVeigh, I remember specifically because John Ashcroft, the attorney general under George Bush, used to be the governor of Missouri, and we all believe that he was a Christian. John Ashcroft stayed Timothy McVeigh's execution until after his 33rd birthday, and then he said, okay, we've got all the evidence we need. Let's go ahead and execute him. And coincidentally, the table that you lay down when they do the injection now to execute people, it looks like a cross. They lay both arms out to the side like that, and they inject the person with those chemicals, and that kills them. It stops them from breathing. The building that they say he was guilty of bombing, the Alfred P. Murrow building, has exactly 33 columns that holds his up. I show a map of it on the screen. Muhammad Atta. He was the pilot of Flight 11, and he was exactly 33 years old. Now, when it comes to conspiracies, if all your conspiracies just involve mankind, there's no way that this works out. But 1968 is the year that steel construction began on the Twin Towers in downtown Manhattan. 33 years later. Both towers are brought down to the ground. Okay. If you remember, they wanted to honor all of those firefighters, first responders, all the people that died. And so they beamed these two large lights up into the sky at ground zero where the towers fell. You go check this out. they lit those lights every night for exactly 33 nights. And it just goes on from there. If you remember the Virginia Tech massacre where one of these students goes in there and he kills a bunch of students. He kills 32 of them plus himself, 33. The miners in Chile. Now, again, if you don't believe in the spiritual side of these theories, of these conspiracy theories, they don't work. Because you can say, well, somebody deliberately shot Kennedy on this particular day at this particular place, and that's believable. No one will believe that the entire heart of a mountain can be made to fall by some magic machine that the government has or the Illuminati has. But those miners, how many? There was 33 of them exactly. This points you now to the Antichrist aspect of it. Because the Antichrist, we know, is at the heart of the earth. He's trapped down there. He's not getting out. But one of these days, he's going to ascend up and rise up to the earth. The phoenix bird is a symbol of that. The phoenix bird goes into the fire. Anytime you're dealing with fire, you're dealing with hellfire, lake of fire, whatever. He goes into the fire. And then he is resurrected out of the fire, out of his own ashes. He's resurrected and given new life again. So when you go back and look at, you can watch the movie. In fact, the movie featuring the story of the miners, I've got a clip of it that I show on the screen. Apple and their iTunes was going to release that movie on February the 2nd. That's the 33rd day of the year. So you have 33 miners. They're down in the heart of the earth. They build this special designed capsule that goes down in there and brings each one of them up one by one, rescues all 33 miners. And that capsule, they painted it and called it El Phoenix, which is the Phoenix. The symbolism is just unreal. Heaven's Gate, that goes way back. That goes back into like the 90s. But there was this cult that was expecting the UFOs to come back. It was called the Heaven's Gate cult. And all of these people, they drank this thing. You know how cults are. They like drinking things and killing themselves.
Yeah.
And they all killed themselves. Well, that was on the particular ranch they were on, Rancho Santa Fe, which is north of San Diego. The latitude was 33 degrees, 30 north. And so here you have Christ. He dies for our sins. He's resurrected on the third day. He's 33 years old. It took 30 pieces of silver to betray him. And he's hung among the transgressors. Maybe we get a little time tomorrow. I'll explain more about the number three and how that works. But he's up there hanging with the transgressors. And there was three people there on Golgotha's Hill on that particular day. When you see all of these examples together, you just have to look at it and say, there's something more than just coincidence happening here.
Yeah, absolutely. So you started to get into some of the secret societies or cults and groups. What are some of the prominent occults or secret societies that use the number 33?
People could look this up, but I have a picture of it up on the screen. On the front of Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, which for 100 years was basically the handbook of Freemasonry. Masonry is trying to, they pretend they're trying to move away from that book because copies are out there and they don't like people reading them and so on. But on the front cover of that, there is this double eagle and this double-headed eagle. That has relevance to it. Everything that Masons do is symbolic. And it has a symbolic meaning, ordo ab chao. Order comes out of chaos, or chao is actually like part of the, I can't remember if it's Latin or Greek, but the word itself means the abyss. So literally you have order coming out of the abyss. Well, that's what we see in Revelation. Oh, here it is. Revelation 9:11 and Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. You have the the king of the bottomless pit, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. But anyway, he has two heads. He's got a cross. On top of that cross is the number 33 emblazoned on it. His wings are covering a group of stars. The number of stars that his wings are covering is 32 stars. The 33rd itself is, of course, the eagle. He is ruling over all of those. And so in Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike never, ever really just wrote out and said, okay, this is the secret of Freemasonry, enjoy life. But they veiled it in certain language. And he said, wisdom is the principle of the universe. And from it, 32 rays diverge. And in them, the law is contained. And so what he's describing here, if you'll think of just any kind of character in the middle, and then 32 rays either extending out of it or going, pointing back into it, what you have is you have basically the layup or the layout of the ruling part, I guess, of the New World Order, which is the Antichrist surrounded by his 32 kings or 32 lesser beasts, or however you want to look at it. In 1 Kings chapter 20, there is the story of how Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, Hadad was their god. He's sort of like Baal. But anyway, he's the king of Syria, and he gathered all of his hosts together. He's going to fight Israel. He fights them the first time up on a mountain or a hill, and that doesn't work out too well. So they go get drunk, and they decide they're going to attack again. And he said, you know, the Israelites' God, he may be the God of the hills or the God of the mountains, but I bet he's not the God of the valleys. Well, that's where we get that old song, you know, God on the mountain. What he does is the Bible talks about Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and his 32 kings with him. So here it is in the scriptures, the very symbol that you see on the front of Morals and Dogma is decoded for you by the scriptures itself. And there's several places where you'll have a king and then 32 lesser kings surrounding him, and they all go to war. And the beauty of this story is that it's sort of a picture of Christ fighting his enemies. When he came to fight his enemies the first time, he fought them on the hill of Golgotha. When he comes again, he's going to fight them in the valley of Armageddon, just like Ben-Hadad said. Their gods, the gods of the mountains, but I bet we can beat them down in the valley. And what that is, it's a foreshadowing. It's a prophecy of Christ defeating his enemies first on the hill of Golgotha, secondly, in the valley of Armageddon.
And that's fascinating stuff as you've been talking about it. Folks, you're listening to Pastor Michael Hoggard on his DVD, Cult of 33. And the numerology that Pastor Hoggard's been studying for years and he gets into. It's just fascinating stuff. You can get a copy of this DVD at swrc.com, our website, swrc.com, or by calling 800-652-1144, 800-652-1144, and ask for Pastor Michael Hoggard's Cult of 33 DVDs. Can you tell us why, you mentioned the Freemasons, why are these groups so fixated on numbers, symbolism, and numerology?
I think it has to do with the spirits behind them. You know, we know that a lot of spirits that we see in the Bible, they're like animals, they're like beasts. And we know that beasts in our world, Micah, we know that they follow seasons, they follow times, they follow dates, and so on. It's almost like the natural world. In fact, it is the natural world. We can usually time out everything without having modern timing devices. We can measure what time it is, months and years, by the sun, by the moon, by the stars, by the creatures themselves. But anyway, that we know that spirits that are mentioned in the Bible, we know a lot of them to be beast-like, and we know that beasts follow certain things. They look for certain patterns. I'll give you an example very quickly. The blowfish. This is amazing to me. The blowfish, the male blowfish, will make this very, very neat looking nest made out of sand. And it's in a perfect circle. And all of the decorations inside this sand nest are exactly, they follow each other in size. And what they're doing is they're trying to get the female blowfish to set her nest right there. And so we know that animals in the animal kingdom, fish and so on, we know that they are drawn and attracted to, he'll spend all day doing that. And he'll put in all these little designs, all these little hills, these rifts, these valleys and everything. And they all point to the center of the nest. And he builds whatever he thinks the female will like when she sort of floats over that. If she thinks that that's going to be a good place to have her babies, she will then come down there and stay there in the middle, and she will have her babies right then and there. That got me to thinking, what, number one, you'll never, ever convince me that evolution does that. You'll never convince me in a billion years that evolution can do that, even right, with millions and millions of years of time. No way, no how. Because if she don't like that nest, she'll go look at the next guy's nest and look at his nest. And his nest will be just as, but they're all different. And so anyway, but that also got me thinking about the use of symbols like the pentagram, or let's see here, the pentagram, circles play into this big time, sigils, things like that. That spirits, I believe, are drawn to that, just like the mama blowfish is drawn to this particular nest, or let's say any kind of animal that looks for a very specific place either to nest or to rest or to, you know, to build something or whatever, that's in their nature. God put it in there. I believe that all of the devils that we fight on a daily basis, Micah, are beasts. Okay. They have a beast. The devil's a dragon. He's a serpent. He's intelligent, but he cannot escape his beast nature. It's like asking my dog to act like a cat. Okay. They're not going to do it. And so that's a theory that I have as to why in the occult, they use symbols, or like in witchcraft. In witchcraft, you have to face the four cardinal directions. Once you do that, you're calling upon earth, air, fire, and water, and so on. And if you do all of this stuff exactly the right way, then you will draw these spirits to you. But if you don't do it right, they're not going to show up. And so that tells me that God has built into them a beast nature. And as such, that beast nature, once you figure out how they work, you can figure out how to defeat them.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
That's a hard question to ask.
No problem. In your view, Pastor, how does the number 33 play into the greater spiritual battle between truth and deception?
The book of Colossians tells us that everything that happened on the cross of Calvary was a symbol for something, was showing how Christ was defeating his enemies, okay? That he took his enemies and the things that were against us, and he nailed them to his cross. One of the reasons I believe that Christ was 33 years old when he went to the cross, and maybe tomorrow I'll explain a little bit more about the number three and what it represents on the good side and the evil side. But we know that Christ dying at 33 is our salvation. But also, with all of the things that we see in the occult using the number 33, all the things that we see in the Bible where the number 33 points to the enemies of God, or the enemies of Christ, or let's say the enemies of God's people. And I'll just give you an example. The phrase "the beast" is mentioned exactly 33 times in the New Testament, and every one of them is pointing you to the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13. And so when Christ dies on the cross, he is defeating sin, he's defeating death, but he is also defeating his enemies that he fights. And that main number one enemy is Antichrist or the beast himself. So Christ showing that number at his death is showing that he is defeating his enemies, the beast, and all of those who follow after the beast. He is defeating them as well. They just haven't laid down and died yet.
Pastor Hoggard, such a fascinating topic. I look forward to talking with you more tomorrow, but thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Micah. God bless you guys.
Why does the number 33 keep appearing in history, prophecy, and occult practices? In the new DVD, Cult of 33, Pastor Michael Hoggard, renowned for his groundbreaking studies in Bible numerology and occult symbolism, unpacks the astonishing significance behind this mysterious number. In this eye-opening four-part DVD series, you'll explore the biblical roots and prophetic meaning of 33, its deep connections to secret societies and occult rituals, and what the recurring appearance of 33 could mean for the future. Whether you're a student of Bible prophecy, fascinated by the hidden world of numerology, or simply seeking truth in a world full of deception, this series will equip you with the knowledge you need to discern the signs of the times. Order your copy of the four-part DVD, Cult of 33, when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Cult of 33 on our website, swrc.com. Don't miss this powerful teaching that could change the way you see the world around you. Order Cult of 33 today. 1-800-652-1144. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Michael Hoggard continues his study on the Cult of 33. Be sure to tune in. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com for more information. That's swrc.com.